from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's time to wake up with a nice cup of morning.
Hi, how are you?
Featuring
the Fillmore's finest, Monte Hill. The pride of the Excelsior, Joe Butcher Boy Shasky.
Take him out.
Hi, Donnie.
95.7 The Game, the morning roast.
Oh, baby, good morning to everybody out there getting off the graveyard shift, all the overnight dancers, all the cops, all the muni drivers. Good morning to everybody out there. I'm not going to lie, today's a struggle. After being jacked up last week and working from 10 to 2, the swagger was on the 15. Boy, what a harsh reality to wake up this morning.
Speak for yourself. I feel great.
Yeah, you do.
Are got you a serious? Huge, yeah. Got a huge pump in. Yeah, nobody was at the gym. It was great.
Yeah, the three of us disagree with you. Shout out to our friends at Flowing Water Plumbing and Drain. If you're going to call it to the roast, you better bring it, because if you don't, you will be flushed. Brought to you by Flowing Water Plumbing and Drain. I get all these texts and tweets. Oh, man, thank God you guys are back at 6 in the morning. Thank God. Speak for yourself. For crying out loud, 10 to 2 was money, just like Mike Florio as he joins us on the River Islands guest line. All guests are 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line. Is it a time for you to discover the islands, River Islands in Lathrop? Mike Florio getting ready for another football season here. Pro Football Talk on Twitter, and read his book, Father of Mine. You can find an ebook for that on Amazon for 99 cents through this Saturday. And be on the lookout for Son of Mine, which will be made available September the 3rd. Available right now to pre-order. Mike, good morning to you. Trady kept it up on Wednesday as he joins us here on the River Islands guest line. And Mike, it all starts with Brendan Ayuk here. We heard your cut, heard you on the Pat McAfee show, I should say, Mike, about Brendan Ayuk and how there were five other teams willing to meet Ayuk's demands, his money. So what held up the deal? Was it the 49ers? Was it the draft compensation? What held up a deal? Because obviously the Niners were taking phone calls on Brendan Ayuk.
Right, yeah, I think it was the trade compensation that ultimately kept it from happening, that no one offered enough to get the 49ers to pull the trigger. And I don't know whether or not this is a situation where the 49ers had their bluff called by Brandon Ayuk's camp, because this didn't happen as a result of Ayuk wanting to be traded. That happened recently with the formal request to be traded. Back before the draft, it was he wanted to be paid a certain amount of money. The 49ers didn't want to pay it, and at some point, it was decided, let's see if someone else will pay him what the 49ers want. The 49ers authorized that effort, and they found out that there were five teams that were willing to pay the 49ers, or to pay Ayuk, excuse me, what the 49ers wouldn't pay him. And, you know, at some point, you got to wake up if you're Jed York or Parag Marate or John Lynch, whoever's got the fingers on the purse strings. If there are five other teams that recognize the value in Brandon Ayuk to the point where they'll pay him what the 49ers want and give something up to get him, even if it wasn't sufficient to get the deal done. At some point, the 49ers should look at that and say, look, all we have to do is pay him. We don't have to give anything up to pay him. You got five teams that are willing to pay him and give something up to make it happen. At some point, you got to look at that and go, yeah, we should probably just pay this guy what he wants because other teams view him more with more value than we do.
So I guess let's start here. I am so fuzzy on whether the 49ers can physically afford Brandon Ayuk now and moving forward. Because my understanding is that they're already $30 million over the cap, and I know the cap is a moving target at best. But, like, do they have the money to give him, even top of the market, what he wants?
Well, look, it gets complicated because it's not just now, but it's in the future. And they know that they're going to have to pay Brock Purdy after this year. I firmly believe they went into this offseason hoping to just hold it all together for one more year. I think we've probably talked about this before. Find a way to keep Ayuk, George Kittle, Deebo Samuel, Trent Williams, Christian McCaffrey, Brock Purdy together. After this year, they're going to have to make some tough decisions. Deebo may be gone. Kittle may be gone. And I think they were hoping to kick the can for one more year. See what Ayuk can do. Maybe if they start to make him more like 1 or 1B as the receiver instead of number 2, can he be the number 1 guy in the offense at that position? And then you pay him after this season. I think they really wanted to if they could have, and they still might be able to pull it off. If they draw a hard line and Ayuk eventually caves and they get him for $14.1 million this year, they can make a decision after this season. But I think that's where it all comes from. You've got a team that you're trying to get the most out of what you have left now and lay the foundation for the future. And the key bridge piece is Brandon Ayuk, if they could keep him for 14-1. And he decided not to go along with that. You know, I mean, he was second in the league in yards per target. Mm-hmm. He was a second team All-Pro. At some point, it's undeniable, especially when you have all these other teams that are willing to pay him, and he knows it. And the 49ers were the reason why a trade didn't happen, because they refused all offers, and now they say they aren't going to trade him at all.
What were those offers?
I don't know what all of them were. I know the Patriots offered a second rounder, and that was rejected, but I don't know what any of the other offers were.
You know, Mike, I would say, and Shasky, maybe you agree with this, but 65% of the callers we've taken and some of the texts and the messages we received on the Brandon Ayuk situation over the last 2 to 3 weeks, it feels like, in my opinion, Shasky and Mike, that 49er fans, a lot of them here are saying, well, we could go find another Brandon Ayuk. We have McCaffrey, we have Deebo, we have Kittle. Without Purdy, Ayuk's nothing. Do you feel like in this region, from what you gather, Mike, that we're underrating Brandon Ayuk, and maybe he's a lot better than we all think he is?
That's the challenge. I know when this first came up, Chris Sims said when you watch 49ers film, Brandon Ayuk is wide open a lot. Now, is that because of his inherent skills in getting open, or is that because defenses are stretched so thin that someone's going to fall through the cracks? And this past year, Ayuk is the one who fell through the crack because all the other players were known commodities and they drew more attention. So that's a fair read on it. And, you know, you're going to have reasonable minds differing. You're going to have analysis of film and look at how he gets off the breaks and look at what he does to get open versus it's Shanahan's offense and you could find somebody else who could come in and do what Brandon Ayuk does. And that's what, you know, you kind of take it to the next level. And this is something I suggested over the weekend. And I thought of this because at one point before the draft, there were reports, I think Mike Silver reported, that the Steelers were interested in trading for Deebo Samuel, but the 49ers wanted too much. Do you at some point just move on from Deebo Samuel now, make Ayuk number one, and see what you can do otherwise to fill out the rest of the depth chart, whether it's Ricky Pearsall or others, right out of the gate? So, again, I just think this is a decision the 49ers didn't want to have to make right now. And it's a fair talking point as to whether or not Ayuk is a guy who could be replaced. You know, is he one of the top three receivers in the NFL? Probably not. Where does he land? And does he land so low on the pecking order that you say, nah, we're not going to pay this guy $30 million. We'll just find somebody else to do what he currently does.
Most teams in the NFL, Mike, and maybe you could put yourself in this, you could put yourself in the hat too as the pro football team or whatnot, but whose future are you banking on moving forward? Is it Deebo Samuel at the age of 28 with a lot of wear and tear? Or is it Brandon Ayuk at the age of 26 who seems to be ascending at the wide receiver position?
Yeah, I think all things equal, it's Ayuk, isn't it? I don't know how many more good years Deebo has left because of his playing style. That's the problem. Look what happened with Jamal Adams. He's got this rough and tumble, reckless playing style that caused him to play in 21 games over a three-year period, and he ended up signing a one-year veteran minimum contract in Tennessee a couple of weeks ago. It's a direct result of how he plays the game. I've watched over the weekend all of the episodes of the Receiver series on Netflix, and, I mean, Deebo plays the game with a reckless abandon that gets him banged up. And you know, in today's NFL, there's value in playing in a way that doesn't get you banged up. You have to know where that limit is, and that's the delicate balance between playing football and having no regard for your health or well-being. The other side of that is there's a reason to have regard for your health and well-being. It allows you to play next week. It allows you to finish games. It keeps you out of the blue tent. It keeps you out of the locker room. And yeah, all things being equal right now, I'd probably say Ayuk over Samuel. But I realize, back to, I hate to keep repeating this, but I think the 49ers were hoping they could get one more year of Ayuk and Samuel and not have to make a decision until after this season.
All right. Is there any way, like, what is the leverage that IU currently has? Like, to me, it's pretty simple. Either he shows up and he plays for $15 million, or he's traded. There's, like, no in-between, right?
Well, the in-between goes like this. He doesn't show up for training camp like Nick Bosa did last year. He skipped everything, and he racked up fines. It's $40,000 a day, and if you're on your fifth-year option, for every preseason game you miss, you're fined a game check, regular season game check, so it's 14.1 divided by 18 for each of the three preseason games. And then he can hold out into the regular season and give up a game check for each game he misses. And there are rules and requirements under the CBA as to when you'd have to show up, and there's different games the team can play to try to squeeze him to show up sooner. And then he shows up, and what kind of shape is he in? How much does he really do this year, right? So I don't know that that is a good outcome for anyone, especially Ayuk, because he's given up real money to do that. The other thing is, he shows up, but, you know, if you even have the slightest pull in your hamstring, I'm not playing through it. I'm not going to go out there and risk a more significant injury. You know, if you've got a concussion, or you think you might, you know, and I know that culturally the NFL is trying to get guys to always put their hands up and say, I might have an issue. You know, there are times where guys, and we know this how this goes, they just keep going. They get their bell ring and they keep going. They don't say anything to anybody and they play through it. You get a guy who's not happy with his contract, he's going to be far more likely to put his hand up anytime he has anything that is remotely close to being an injury or a health condition that would keep him from playing, because I'm not going to go out of my way. I don't have security beyond this year. They're taking advantage of me at $14.1 million. So, you know, how many games is he actually playing? I think the Bengals are going to have to deal with that with T. Higgins this year on his franchise tag at 21-8. So there's a middle ground that's ugly for the 49ers and for Ayuk, where Ayuk's there at 14-1, but he doesn't give the kind of performance we saw last year that helped create this mess.
Is there any trade out there? Let's say that Ayuk and the Niners can't come to an agreement. Is there any trade out there that would keep the Niners in contention for a Super Bowl? Because, I mean, we all agree. Like, you take Deebo or Ayuk off the team, it makes it dramatically more difficult. I saw a trade last week circulated around, whether it's real or not, of, you know, Davante Adams straight up for Ayuk. Like, is there a trade out there like that, or is that just complete internet BS?
Well, I mean, that's the problem with not doing the trade before the draft. Because before the draft, you're getting value that in theory could help you this year in the form of whatever picks you get for IU. After the draft, you have to get a player if you want something that's going to help you this year. Now, something they could do, they could trade IU for draft pick compensation, and then they could replace IU with a separate trade using the draft pick compensation they got as part of the ammunition to get the guy that might be available elsewhere. So it wouldn't have to be Ayuk for Adams straight up, if that's even a possibility. And then again, based on the receiver show, it sure doesn't seem like Devontae Adams is thrilled about being with the Raiders right now. But you could trade Ayuk to someone, and then you could trade for Devontae Adams. Or you could trade Ayuk to someone, and you could target some other receiver from some other team who might be disgruntled or might become, you know, replaceable as the season goes on. So, you know, and here's the other thing, too. If a top receiver on another team gets injured during training camp or the preseason, all of a sudden you may have somebody who's willing to give up a lot for Brandon Ayuk. And if at that point the 49ers have decided, hey, you know what, Ricky Pearsall looks pretty damn good, or, we think this guy, Juwan Jennings, is ready to really step up. They gave him a contract in the offseason. He was a guy who was, for a while in the Super Bowl, on the short list of maybe he's the MVP of this game. So you get 2-3 weeks in, people get clarity, an injury comes along, and maybe it happens then, and they don't feel compelled to get somebody else who could come in and replace him right away.
Mike Florio here on the Morning Roast with Shasky and Bonte, River Island's guest line, of course. Mike, this is kind of a lazy question, I guess, but I was going to ask you, who has the most pressure on them coming into this season? And, you know, everybody's got pressure, right? This is the NFL. Money's on the line, contracts, legacies, or whatnot. But with this football team, and considering what they've done in the past 5 years, coming up short in the Super Bowl twice against Kansas City, blowing a 10-point lead against Kansas City, blowing a 10-point lead against the Rams in an NFC Championship game, not having your quarterback last more than 6 plays against Philadelphia, to me, I was just having this conversation with Shasky here. It feels like Shanahan has the most pressure going on himself going into the season, because Purdy's going to get his money. Guys are going to get paid. What do you think about the 49ers in 2024? Is that valid? Does Shanahan have the most pressure on him, on this football team moving forward?
Well, there was a bit of research recently. I think it was from NFL Research about coaches who have been to multiple Super Bowls, either as coordinators or head coaches. And for everyone who's done what Shanahan has done, and that's 0-3 as coordinator or head coach, they never ultimately won a Super Bowl. I don't know what that really means. You know, right after the Super Bowl loss, I made the argument that at some point Shanahan might need to go somewhere else like Andy Reid did to just kind of hit the reset button, because I think the pressure mounts. And the intensity mounts. You know, I think back to when the Bengals were getting to the playoffs every year and losing. It was getting harder and harder every year to set that aside. Look at what happens with the Ravens when they get back to the playoffs and they get deeper into the playoffs. I think it becomes more and more of an issue. And I think the 49ers are going to be dealing with that every time they're back in the Super Bowl, especially if they keep coming up against Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs. And there's a good reason to believe that if the 49ers keep going back, they're going to keep running into the Chiefs more often than not. So maybe at some point it's good for both sides, and that's what happened with Reed and the Eagles. Now, look, that was after, 14 years?
So we're getting to that point, though, huh? We're getting to that point with Shanahan where we may have to think about life after Shanahan.
I just think at some point – when you are standing on the porch banging on the door and the door's not opening, I think the longer you bang, the more pressure there is on everyone to finally open the damn door. Now, I'd also say that Purdy probably has a little bit of pressure on him to cement that he's worthy of, you know, a market-level contract. I mean, right now it's like, yeah, the guy's going to get a contract after his third year. Okay, we fast forward to February. It's like, well, what's he going to get paid? How much is he going to get? Is it going to start with a 5? Is it going to start with a 4? Is it going to start with a 6? So that's all to be determined based upon what he does this year. And obviously the more success they have, the more likely, you know, they win the Super Bowl, he's getting a 6 at the front of his contract. And, you know, all these other issues are solved, but you're going to have cap concerns because you got a quarterback who's going to be, at least for a little while, the highest paid player in all of football. So there is some pressure on him to kind of finish the job. But yeah, I just think you put yourself in Shanahan's shoes. And it's like, it's always something that keeps you from winning that Super Bowl. It gets to a point where it just drives you nuts. Yeah. And I think you become hyper aware as you get closer and closer to winning a Super Bowl what is it that's going to happen this time? Here's what happened against Tom Brady and the Patriots. Here's what happened the first time against Mahomes. Here's what happened the second time against Mahomes. No lead is safe. You almost have to be up 41-3 at halftime to finally be able to relax and think, okay, this time it's going to turn out differently and I'm finally going to win.
Mike, I love it. I'll ask you another thing. When you keep saying 4, 5, 6, I'm assuming years on the deal, not 400, 500, 600 million. When talking about Purdy.
I mean 40, 50, or 60 million
gotcha.
A year.
Yeah. Gotcha. Okay. So on that same note, Packers and Jordan Love are working on a new deal. At least it's being reported that. And I guess Love won't practice until the deal is done. What would that deal look like? And how does that impact the framework for a Brock Purdy deal, you think?
Well, he's holding in, right? You got two options. If you're not happy with the contract that you have, and Jordan Love is due to make $11 million this year, obviously he needs a new contract. So they didn't get it done before camp opened. So now they're going to do the he's holding in, and the team's fine with that. He's not going to practice, but he's there. It's the middle ground between the holdout and showing up and reluctantly practicing. But Matt LaFleur's got to get a football team ready without Jordan Love. So I think they'll get something done sooner than later. And again, is it going to start with a 5 or is it going to start with a 4? But the thing that I tell people all the time, and we saw this with Derek Carr 2 years ago when he did his extension with the Raiders and all the, you know, the usual suspects on Twitter who get the initial text message and never ask questions about what it all means. Oh, it's $40 million guaranteed and it's $40 million a year and this, that, and the other thing. It's like, yeah, but you know what? There was an escape hatch in there that lets the Raiders get out after 1 year if they decide to move on. Oh, and they did. So I think the key for any of these quarterback deals that will be done, including Purdy's, how many years are you truly tied to the player? With the extreme being Deshaun Watson and the Browns are stuck for 5 years. You know, the Broncos were stuck for 2 with Russell Wilson. The Seahawks are on a year-to-year deal with Geno Smith. That wasn't proclaimed from the rooftops when Geno did his deal. Everybody said, oh, it's 3 years, $100 million. No, it's 1 year at a time. Daniel Jones, 2 years. So that's going to be the key with Love's deal, regardless of what the number is. How many years are the Packers truly tied to him? And I think that's going to be the thing to look at when Purdy does his deal. How many years are the 49ers truly committed to Brock Purdy?
You know, Mike, it's taken a while for us. We really haven't gotten out of the Super Bowl. We saw it in Las Vegas. That was one of the darkest moments for 49er fans in the last 30 years, no doubt about that. How will 2024 play out for them? If all things are equal, they get Brandon Ayuk into camp and they're healthy. Where do you see the season going for the 49ers, Mike?
I remember 4 years ago there was a preseason event and Kyle Shanahan was asked what does he want for the 49ers this year, and he says he wants to have a 10-point lead with, you know, 7 minutes left and finish the job. And I made the point that that's the easy part. You get a 10-point lead with 7 minutes left in the Super Bowl, that's coasting, or at least it's supposed to be. The hard part is going back to 0-0. Dennis Green, the former Vikings coach, and he was a 49ers assistant at one point, he called it the Valley of 0-0. Every team gets dragged back down to the Valley of 0-0, and you have to do it all over again. Look what happened in 2020 after they went to the Super Bowl the last time. All those injuries with the back-to-back games on that horrible surface at MetLife Stadium. The season can get easily derailed for any team at any time. 0-0, the climb from 0-0 to the one seed is not easy. It's a long, hard fight, and then you get to single elimination. So, yeah, the 49ers are one of the best teams in the NFL, but we got 272 regular season games, and we know from experience a lot of stuff happens. Should the 49ers be in the mix when it's all said and done? Yes. But remember, Chris Berman used to say that's why they play the games. He probably still says it. I just don't see him very often anymore. But that's why they play the games, and we'll see. And it's just another reason that you're a 49ers fan, and I feel for the 49ers fans. Good Lord, to be that close, to have that championship just kind of dangling in your face, and you reach for it, and it's like, you remember the old Eddie Murphy bit, one lick, psych, there goes the trophy, just like the ice cream cone.
You love that we keep falling short, just a little, come on.
I don't love that.
No.
For content purposes.
It would be nice if, like, over the course of 32 years, every team could win one Super Bowl. I mean, the problem is, the Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes. Look at the AFC.
I know.
Look at the Bills. Look at all these teams that, like, you just have to accept the fact that for the next decade, you're just going to be watching and waiting and hoping that something happens that keeps the Chiefs from, you know, winning another Super Bowl and another Super Bowl and another Super Bowl. So at least you guys have a chance to get there. You don't have to deal with the Chiefs in the playoffs. You don't have to. You only have to wait for them until the Super Bowl.
I've made this point, Mike, that if I see the Chiefs on the other side of the bracket in the title game, knowing that the Niners are in the NFC title game, I'd rather just lose the NFC title game. I don't want to play Kansas City no more. I mean, you watch Mahomes throw on his back foot across the field to Xavier Worthy. I mean, come on, man. Now he's got a new home run hitter. Ah, oh, I just got depressed again. Mike, you're always good to us.
Great stuff, your book, Mike.
Can't wait for your book as well. First one was good. Finished it, Father of Mine. Son of Mine coming out September 3rd. Pre-order right now. Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk. Thanks so much for the time today, Mike.
Thanks, guys.
Anytime, Mike Florio here on the Morning Roast. There's a lot to chew on there. A lot to chew on. Niner fans, what do you think? 888-957-9570. 888-957-9570. We'll react to everything Mike Florio had to say on the other side. Brought to you by Save Mart, Lucky California.
You put yourself in Shanahan's shoes. It's always something that keeps you from winning that Super Bowl. It gets to a point where it just drives you nuts. Mm. And I think you become hyper-aware as you get closer and closer to winning a Super Bowl. What is it that's going to happen this time? Here's what happened against Tom Brady and the Patriots. Here's what happened the first time against Mahomes. Here's what happened the second time against Mahomes. No lead is safe. You almost have to be up 41-3 at halftime to finally be able to relax and think, okay, this time it's going to turn out differently and I'm finally going to win.
Now, back to the Morning Roast with Fonte and Shasky.
That cut with that music. Mwah. Nice job, Spadone.
You know,
nice job.
You asked him about pressure. I always go back to there's a golf guy who just he's got a lot of pressure. He keeps saying pressure. But
they all have pressure. I don't want to, you know.
We'll get to Purdy's pressure.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame.
Two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly, beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Turn a second. I've had 6 months. It's been about 6 months, right? It's the seventh month of the year. You almost had eight months. It's February was the Super Bowl.
April, May, June, July.
About six months, give or take.
Oh, my gosh.
All right.
No lead is safe with Kyle.
I've had an opportunity to digest the Super Bowl. I've watched it back 4 to 5 full times. They lost that Super Bowl for a variety of reasons. But if you made me choose the biggest reason, it is Shanahan. Now, Shanahan's part why they got there. There's no doubt about it, right? But, like, I can't watch that Super Bowl without thinking about all of the different points in that game where they, A, didn't move the ball, B, weren't prepared for a blitz concept that was coming at them, C, didn't give McCaffrey certain touches in certain situations, didn't get George Kittle involved as a guy who can move off the line a little, and then not knowing the rules in overtime, then not only do you not know the rules, you don't realize that you've got Satan himself on the opposite sideline, Patrick Mahomes, who was going to score a touchdown, and you needed a touchdown, and I said it to you 500 times in the stadium, you got to score a touchdown. You got to score a touchdown. And so if you made me choose, the biggest reason, now, he's also one of the bigger reasons on why they were there, but why they lost the game? Was Shanahan. Doesn't mean he's not a good coach. It doesn't mean I don't think he's the right guy for the right spot for this team. Like, all of those things are true. They lost that Super Bowl in a large part because of Kyle Shanahan. And I love the guy. It does, but he's got to wear it. He does. He has to wear that.
You know.
Why are you laughing? 888-957-9570. And we'll get to Purdy in a second. Because I have a little thing I want to do with Bonte. If I made you boil it down to one thing, knowing it's never one thing, what was the big reason why they lost that Super Bowl?
It's Kyle Shanahan. And it's not even close. It's not even close when you really think about it. Because I'm not just looking at the Super Bowl. I'm looking at Media Day. I'm looking at a head coach on Media Day. And I don't know if this is confirmed or not, and I'm not here to speculate. I'm not here to say that he was drunk or, but something was off.
Something was off.
Something
I would admit.
And something was off all week.
I told you it was not a good look. Remember, I came in, I said, dude, it's not a good look, dude.
Of course it wasn't a good look. I mean, it's never a good look, but something was off. Something was off. And I think back to Super Bowl 54, and nobody wants to touch this. When you get to Super Bowl 54 down in Miami back in 2019/2020, and you get there and you're just bloviating about Kirk Cousins. And maybe it was a question, but debunk the question. Hey, I'm here with Jimmy Garoppolo. I'm here. Like, he was talking about Kirk Cousins and how we thought we're going to draft him, which is why we didn't draft Deshaun Watson. But Patrick Mahomes is like, dude, you're digging a bigger ditch. Just move on and talk about the Super Bowl, please. So it's he doesn't handle these situations greatly. And then I think about the way they were prepared on Christmas Day. They got smoked Christmas by the Baltimore Ravens. Did they come out in Green Bay and you're lethargic in that game and all of a sudden Deebo gets hurt? Look, you know you have Deebo Samuel. There's a great chance he may go down because of the way he plays. He went down in that Green Bay game and it was like, oh, what do we do offensively? We go from averaging 30 points a game to having 7 at the half and being now 13-7 going into the fourth and, oh my gosh, we got to rally quickly here. My quarterback's struggling a bit. Then you get the Lions game in the NFC Championship game and look, you can blame Steve Wilkes all you want to. Steve Wilkes was he was the scapegoat.
Who had a better game plan and who made better adjustments in-game in the Super Bowl?
Oh, like, Steve Wilkes is the best coach of the Super Bowl, which is why it drove me crazy when Shanahan showed him up on the last possession of overtime, the last possession of the game, and he wants to throw his headset because they're wrong, lined up wrong. Well, you don't have Drake Greenlaw, and Steve Wilkes has had a good game. Defense gave you everything you needed. They held Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs to 3 points at the half. The Chiefs had 13 going into the fourth quarter. Steve Wilkes did a hell of a job in the Super Bowl. Hell of a job. Gets no credit for it. He was the best coach. So, yeah, when I look back at the Super Bowl, the situations, the game flow, the penalties, the preparation, not knowing the overtime rules, yes, it's on Shanahan. Now, I'm not saying we need to fire Shanahan.
No one's saying
I'm not saying that. Hell, he should probably get an extension. He's been a great coach for the 49ers. But boy, too many in these big games, he gets a little tight, and situations don't come out their way. So I look at the Super Bowl and the accountability, the lack of accountability in some of these games, in some of these Super Bowls. Kyle, come on, man. Let's go. Let's go, Kyle. What you got? You got everything. You got a high-priced left tackle. You got a high-priced tight end. You got a high-priced defensive end. You got your quarterback that you said you stumbled into, but whatever. We're going to give you a pass for whiffing on the number 3 overall pick. A monumental whiff for Trey Lance. That may go down as the worst pick of all time.
Can I ask this one? How come in all these big games, they've got Pro Bowlers galore at all the weaponry, and it feels like all the losses, their offense comes up just short?
All these big games. 2021 Rams, 17-7. What happened in the fourth quarter?
Like, can we lose a shootout once? No, I'm serious. Have they ever lost a shootout in the playoffs?
No.
No, it's always like, oh, the offense just did one more thing.
It's a grind.
No, I know you're playing better defenses. I understand that. But, like, even the game the year prior between the Chiefs and the Eagles, like, Eagles' offense moved the ball.
Oh, that was a shootout.
Yes, that was a shootout.
It was last team with the ball.
He's going to win.
We'll win the football game. All right? But you think about 2019. 20-10, and you play conservative, and you were tight in that Super Bowl. Don't get me started on not calling the timeout before halftime,
right.
Not giving the ball to Mostert, and then in the third quarter, you're up 20-10, and you get a little conservative.
I don't know how he gets over the whole overtime thing. Seeing the audio from the game afterwards, and basically having an entire offseason to chew on it, you are going to go down. It's not Bill Buckner-esque, but you're going to go down as like, well, don't do what Shanahan did.
Well,
you always kick it off.
I watched him in Dallas.
Am I wrong?
They hung off.
It is the gold standard of what not to do in an overtime game in the playoffs.
You know,
everyone will know it because of the blunder.
We laugh at McCarthy and Dak Prescott for a lot of their misery and what they do. But in that wild card game, being at Texas Stadium, Shasky, the feeling I had inside that stadium, if Dak does spike that ball with 1 second left, the Cowboys are around, what, the 21-22 yard line?
They almost blew that one.
They almost blew that game. You almost blew it. All right? Special teams saved you in Green Bay.
How about the game against the Cowboys when Zeke Elliott's final snap as a Cowboy
point
where they went wide? Come on, that was funny.
That was funny.
But they did have a play there.
So, I mean, look, Shanahan's going to be here for a while, but Mike said something. He may need a reset at some point, and he may not get that Super Bowl here. He just may not get that Super Bowl here. And that saddens me that we're at that point now. Because after the season, it's inevitable. There's going to be a reset with the personnel.
And there's no doubt. Is there like a I know Don Nelson was kind of like a tortured soul. He was so brilliant, he almost got in his own way. Is there an element of that when you watch Shanahan?
Absolutely there is. Because I see McVay, he coaches a lot looser. It always feels like McVay has a pep in his step, right? He's walking around.
They're very different ethoses. McVay is just more optimistic and fiery.
Right.
That's what he is.
Yeah. Shanahan just like, he gets in his own dome.
I would say Shanahan, to me, is more analytical like Belichick. Like, there's many ways to win, right? McVay reminds me more of a Dick Vermeil type than he is. Like, he'll hug and kiss a player on the field and high-five him or whatever, whereas Shanahan's got more Belichick, like, I'm thinking three plays ahead.
He does play chess, and, like, you hear rumors like Shanahan run a play knowing that it's not going to work just to set up a play down the line. Well, that all sounds good. That all sounds fine and dandy, but then what if that play doesn't work that you were setting up three plays from now? Like, were they setting up the 3rd and 5 in the fourth quarter? Were they setting that up?
Well, here's where I have a hard time, though. Like, he's won so many big playoff games, and yet in all the losses, I feel like I can – and this is the part where I find it difficult to do the evaluation. He's great. He's going to be – when it's all said and done, only Bill Walsh – after if he wins a playoff game this year, only Bill Walsh is going to have more playoff wins than him, right? So he's so good in the playoffs, yet his losses are so littered with crazy mistakes.
Jim Harbaugh had that same tag. And then last year had, now I know it's college football.
Yeah.
But you think about what they went through at Michigan.
That's actually true.
What they went through. And he finally, I mean, they had lost 2 straight playoff, losing to TCU, blown out to Georgia the year before. And then finally, you got to play Alabama in the Rose Bowl. You Jim Harbaugh, kind of like Shanahan in that Super Bowl, where Shanahan went for it on 4th down and got the pass to George Kittle for the 1st down. Well, Harbaugh, we forget, in that Rose Bowl, Big Dog and I are like, he's really going for it from his own 35, and he went for it. And he got that monkey off his back to win a big, because he's won a lot of big games. But now it just feels like Harbaugh, we look at him completely different. Even though it's the national championship in college football, doesn't it feel like some of that pressure has been alleviated for Jim Harbaugh saying, well, you can't win a big one. Well, he did win a big one. He beat Saban.
I know.
Right? And he beat Penix Jr. Well,
and he chose to go to the division of Patrick Mahomes.
Right.
And the loaded AFC. And in part because he believes so much in Herbert.
Right.
To that organization, the Chargers.
The Chargers, out of all, I think the Raiders made a mistake not getting Jim Harbaugh.
I'm with you.
Yeah, we'll see what happens.
Look who their quarterback is.
Yeah, I know.
AOC.
Yeah, I see that.
Not that AOC.
No, not
Aiden O'Connell.
AOC for president.
Yeah. Well, oh boy. Let's go to Richard Hayward. Rich, what's happening?
Hey, I'm just going to say, like I've been listening to what you our defense wasn't the problem in that Super Bowl.
It sure wasn't.
I mean, and the stuff that he did, it's ridiculous. It's like, it's like, I'm not saying he's Marv Levy, but he has two L's, in a Super Bowl. I mean, that's unprecedented territory. The only other person is the Buffalo Bills. I don't want to be where it's Niners, and I'm a Niner, Niner fan, and it's just like, no, we're not going down as, if we don't win this year or we lose another one, then it's unbelievable. The pressure is on Shanahan.
Wow. Is that the most pressure? Thanks for the call, Rich. Most pressure on Shanahan going into the year, 888-957-9570 is the number.
Before you go out to any other lines, I mean, we can make a case there's an equal amount of pressure. Forget the team aspect, the individual aspect, financially and, stability-wise for Brock Purdy.
Here's why I don't think there's that much pressure on Brock Purdy. Sure, he's the quarterback of the 49ers. Sure, he's got a lot of money on the line. But Brock Purdy's going to get a contract, whether it's here or anywhere else.
Yeah, but there's levels to these contracts.
There's levels to it, but he's the last pick of the NFL draft. Whatever happens, whatever money he may get $20 million guaranteed. Well, you know what? Has the last pick, Mr. Irrelevant, ever got a contract extension?
Yeah, but the difference...
Has a contract ever, a lucrative multi-year deal, ever been given to a guy who was picked last in the NFL draft? So by that ethos, he's already exceeded expectations. He's going to be a starting quarterback, whether it's here, somewhere else, no matter what. He's submitted himself as a starting quarterback in this league.
Yeah, but the difference between $20 million a year and $60 million a year over 5 years is pretty different. Let's play this exercise.
Can we use that same exercise with Brandon Ayuk?
I'll get to that in a second.
$14 million is a lot different than $50 guaranteed, right? You get it now?
Well, we've
been arguing about Brandon Ayuk getting this money.
$30 million when this year is done.
So
Brock Purdy will make less than $2 million when this year's contract
is done. That new deal he gets? Generational money,
so
right?
So if Purdy wins the Super Bowl, how much is he getting?
I don't know.
Well, just throw out numbers.
I don't know. The best, whatever the top deal is.
What do you think it is? 65?
55 a year. 60 a year.
Okay, let's go 60 a year. $60 million a year. He loses the Super Bowl. What's he getting?
40? 50?
That low? 50 or 40?
I don't know. I have no idea what his agent's going to break down. I have no idea what type of money he's going to get.
There's a lot of money on the line for Purdy this year?
Oh, if he goes to the Super Bowl and loses to Mahomes, he's going to get paid,
yeah,
regardless.
But is he going to get top dollar?
Yes, he's going to get top five
still.
Money. Absolutely.
Okay, what if he loses in the playoffs?
I don't know. How does it look? Does he lose 41-38? Does he throw for 4,500 yards in a regular season? Does he, I don't know, Kirk Cousins got a lot of money.
What if it looks like it did last year? It looks exactly they were kind of close.
No.
He wasn't the main
reason.
He's going
to get top dollar, Shasky. He's getting top five money regardless.
What if they don't make the playoffs?
Well, then we have a different conversation.
What's that conversation look like?
I don't know. It's going to be a lot of conversations. Going to be a lot of conversations. I don't know how much.
I think there's a $30 or $40 million variance between
I don't know if it's that much.
Super Bowl appearance and no playoffs.
Yeah, I don't agree with that because Kirk Cousins has gotten top dollar. And what the hell has Kirk Cousins done?
Okay. So you still think no matter what, he doesn't make the playoffs?
What has Kirk Cousins done?
Nothing.
And how much money has he received?
The miracle down in New Orleans.
How much money has he received?
And I don't even think that was him. I think that was the other quarterback.
Well, no, it was Dalvin Cook in the first half, which opened the game up, and then Cousins made a couple throws in the second half. Look, Cousins, one playoff win, two playoff wins? How many?
Yeah.
How much has that?
But he had to fight and claw for that money year after year. Like, he franchise tagged him multiple times in Washington. Like, he before he hit free agency.
He had no wins in big games. He had no wins on Monday Night Football for how long?
So you think that the Niners... I'm not going to hold you to this.
I don't care.
Let's say he doesn't make the playoffs. They go 8-9, the Niners.
Doesn't matter. If he performs at the level he performed last year and he throws up similar numbers, he's going to get paid, Chaskin.
Well, I know he's
going
to get paid.
It did not 60. It did not hinder Kirk Cousins from getting top dollar.
No, but I think we all looked at that money and thought it was pretty dumb. Like, it's spent stupidly.
But he got that money.
That's true.
Daniel Jones can't throw a four pass to save his life. He's making $40 million a year.
Daniel Jones stinks.
$40 million a year. So Purdy, no matter what, is going to get his money. He's getting his chips.
I'm going to say, come on, man. If he doesn't make the playoffs, I think that number from $60 million drops down to like $35
million. Yeah, you're insane.
You think so?
I think you're insane. Trevor Lawrence, what did he do last year?
He did nothing.
And what did he just receive?
Well, I just think the Niners could play hardball because they could say to themselves, well, you don't like it here, Purdy? Like, we do have all these Pro Bowlers, and if we can get you down at a lower number, we can keep more of these Pro Bowlers. I did go to the Super Bowl with Jimmy Garoppolo.
Good luck with that.
I'm not saying it's a winning argument.
Good luck with that.
So you think no matter what, he's getting
top five, top 10 quarterback, buddy. Are you crazy?
Well, like, I think if this year, if it looks really, like, and I don't think it will.
Really bad?
But if it looks really ugly, no, I don't think he's going to get topped off.
Like 30 million
less? If he could hold out right now, I know he can't, but if he could, like, now's the time where he can get broken off. If he has a subpar year, like, I do think it changes it a little. I'm not saying he's not going to get paid. He's going to get paid.
Yeah.
But I think there's a big difference between 35 and 40 million and like 60, 65. Because you're going to have Dak's number coming up. We'll see what Jordan Love's number is.
Well, there could be a lot of movement then. What if Dallas doesn't give Dak that money? Jerry Jones was looking at Brock Purdy saying, ooh, let's get him down here. Dude, Trevor Lawrence, 5 years, $275 million, one playoff win.
I think it's dumb money. What did I say to you when he signed it? I'm like, who? Like, I wouldn't have given him that money.
Well, he's going to get that money, Brock Purdy.
Wow.
He's going to get that money. that's baked in. He's getting that money.
No matter what happens this year.
Kirk Cousins was Mr. Mediocre. And Kirk Cousins, how much did he just sign for?
Kirk Cousins.
But he's
Kirk
been healthy Cousins. His whole career. Like, that's what I'm saying.
Purdy's been healthy, too. He's been nicked up, but he's been healthy.
That's true. He's been healthy for the games. I don't know. I think that this year, I do think there's a lot of money on the line this year.
I mean, he's going to get paid. He's getting paid. But you know what? If he doesn't have a great season, you know what happens then? You know what happens if he does face plant and there's questions around the quarterback market or about him in the quarterback room? You know who could be available next season?
I don't know who.
Kirk Cousins.
Oh, stop it. Stop it.
Am I lying?
Kirk Cousins.
They didn't draft Michael Penix Jr. to hold a clipboard for the next 2 years.
I don't know, man.
They didn't draft Penix Jr. just to be wearing a cool Falcons hat on the sideline.
You bring up Daniel Jones, and I find that to be actually an excellent case study in the guy had a great year. They went to the playoffs, a great year. I mean, he had, I think it was like 17 touchdowns, something like that. They went to the playoffs. And they paid him an amount of money that I don't think anyone else was going to pay him. Now, I think Purdy is way better than Daniel Jones. I just want to make that very clear. Way better. But paying Daniel Jones looks really stupid today, and it's forced them to bid adieu to Saquon Barkley, who everyone agrees is a better football player than Daniel Jones. I do think if Purdy and this is what the beauty of where the Niners are at, they don't have to pay him today. If he has a down year, he's still going to get a lot of money. But I do think there's a difference in $65 million and $45 million. That's like four players on offense.
Well, it's not even about that. It's what's the signing bonus and the guaranteed money. What is the upfront money on day one? Upfront money day one. What is it for him?
Yeah, I think the difference is like $120 million guaranteed and like $210 million guaranteed. That's a big difference.
$120 million is
a No, I know. It's a money. Lot. We're talking about, if we're looking long term.
I mean, Baker Mayfield got 3 years for $100 million.
How much guaranteed?
Let's see here. He's set to make $30 million guaranteed. No, $50 million guaranteed.
Yeah, see,
$30 million guaranteed in 2024. $30 million with $20 million guaranteed in 2025 and $40 million in 2026.
I think Purdy starts at double that.
Yes, well, there you go.
Starts.
Well,
at double. Yeah, meaning my 110, 120 is about right.
He's going to get guaranteed. Paid. He's going to get paid. So I don't think, well, Brock Purdy, you're playing a hot spot. I got all these playmakers. I got Shanahan. I'm fine.
I mean, if they're haggling with Nick Bosa to the very end, they're going to do the same thing.
They got the Jimmy Garoppolo deal done in April. When they initially made him the highest paid quarterback,
but their finances were so different back then.
They were different.
2018, they were paying the Malcolm Smith premium money just to come to the team.
Well, good luck paying Purdy all that money. That's a lot of money for. Let's go to Will and Moran, then we'll get to BPA. Will, what's happening?
Hey, guys. Yeah, I think that Purdy gets paid regardless just off of positional value. Just like the value of what a quarterback is in the NFL. So I think you're right. Vontae is getting paid regardless. Also, it's not that bad of a look when you lose to Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes. I mean, they're probably the dirtiest duo in the NFL. They just understand each other and they play for each other. So it's not that big of a deal. It's not like, you know, you lose to them. It's, oh, this big giant failure. It's not like he did, you know, lose a Super Bowl or a big playoff game to Daniel Jones. I think Purdy also, too, is just very underrated. I mean, due to the fact that he has a lot of weapons around him. But, I mean, look, if the Chiefs defensive coordinator said that he threw the kitchen sink at him and the kid didn't blink, I just think that he's worth a lot more than we give him credit for. I mean, imagine what last year would have looked like with Jimmy G. It would have been absolutely terrible. It would have sucked. So I just think that we pay him just because he can run the offense, he can play football, and he's way better than your average guy. Like, you go down the list, I can't name them all. There's plenty of quarterbacks that got paid high money after getting smoked by Tom Brady in the Super Bowl. Right. Peyton Manning, Russell Wilson being a few to name. So I just think you pay Brock Purdy off of the positional value. I think he's worth every dime, and he keeps us relevant. I just think that he doesn't get the credit he deserves. Well, he's a great quarterback. Pay that man money.
Well, yeah, real quick, who has the most pressure on him going into the season? Is it Purdy? Is it Debo? Is it Bosa? Is it Kyle Shanahan?
I would say Shanahan and Bosa, because I feel that, I mean, Shanahan, he's always going to get the brunt of every negative thing because he's the head coach. He's the punching bag. He's the guy that goes up to the stand. He answers all the questions. He's going to get a lot of smoke regardless. But I think going into it, it's Bosa. I really liked what you were saying about him a few weeks ago. You know, he didn't really answer the call. We paid him a lot of money. It rises a lot of questions if you want to play Brock Purdy. But I just think that, you know, he needs to show up and be the Joey Bosa that we all love and watched earn that big paycheck. Thanks, guys.
All right. Thanks for the call.
You know, I think about all these like quarterback things, like Trevor Lawrence. He doesn't get, you know, he's a free agent before he gets his big money. Let's just say hypothetically, how much do like Team X, the Raiders? I just use them as an example. How much are they throwing at Trevor Lawrence?
A lot of money, right?
Like Dak Prescott. If Dak Prescott hits the open market,
they're getting a lot of money.
He's getting a lot of money.
Quarterbacks are getting money.
Right?
Brock Purdy's going to get a lot of money.
For sure. Like, but would the Raiders view, if Dak, I'm just using, because Dak's coming up on a free, if Dak and Purdy are both available, who are they giving more money to?
I don't know. You have to ask the Raiders.
Are we in the Niner bubble? Because I know Purdy's way younger.
My bubble is, I don't know what these teams think in their war rooms. I don't know how they have certain quarterbacks.
Who would you pay more money to?
I wouldn't pay either a lot of money. I'd go back to the drawing board.
Well, I'm making you choose. You're running the Raiders, and the owner says to you, I'm just using them as an example. You have to get a quarterback this year. We can't go quarterback roulette year after year after year. You got to pick one so we can have some stability.
Dak or Purdy? I lean Purdy ever so slightly. Ever so slightly.
Yeah, I'm taking Purdy all day. He's younger. He's been better in the playoffs.
I'm taking Purdy slightly. But I don't know, just not the hypothetical, but just in a war room or what the Giants look at or what the Commanders look at, I don't know how they view Brock Purdy. I don't know how the league views Brock Purdy. That's a question for outside the league. I know how we view Brock Purdy, but we're in this bubble. We're in this market. Like with Sean McVay, he obviously brought in Jimmy Garoppolo. He sees something when nobody sees something to him. But as a backup. But still, I wouldn't even have Jimmy Garoppolo in my quarterback room. I would try to find another backup. I'm like, Jimmy, I don't know about this.
McVay also took a swing on, you know, Carson Wentz. Baker Mayfield the year prior.
That's what he does. This is kind of his thing.
He's got a little Andy Reid in him. Used to take flyers on people who no one else would touch.
Yeah, so I don't know who they're like. I take Brock, but Dak's not as bad as we all make it out to seem.
No, he's a good player.
You know, he's not bad. I look at the coaching situation. I look at the personnel around him.
But he
doesn't have a running back around him.
He's also got like 8,000 interceptions.
He does. He has big blunders. He has big blunders. There's no doubt about that. No doubt about that. So I take Purdy. Let's go to BPA. I take him on the line right now. BPA. Brian and Paul Alto, what's up?
Hey, how you guys doing?
I miss you.
We're back to 6-10.
Missed you too. Yeah, I think, you know, we don't know what Brock's going to get paid. You know, everyone assumes he's going to demand the biggest contract in the history of the NFL. But, you know, Tom Brady took significantly less on almost every contract he took, right? Because his priority was obviously winning championships. And you never know. Maybe Brock takes the same tack, right? Has he been a pretty selfless guy so far? Yeah, he has as a quarterback, right? And I think that's part of the reason why.
How has he been selfless? What has he done that has just stood out for him to be selfless?
Does he ever like pump his own chest or take the credit or demand the glory? No, he's always given the credit away to his teammates, always, almost to a fault. You know, when they were talking about MVP, the MVP race, and he says, yeah, McCaffrey should be the MVP. Like, you know, like, and just judging by the way that his teammates and his coaches love him, in a way they never loved Jimmy Garoppolo, in a way that Kirk Cousins has never been loved by anybody.
Most quarterbacks give their teammates credit.
No, but look, let me defend BP. I'll let you continue. He did have, not opportunities, but other quarterbacks would have handled the whole, like, hey, you're healthy, but if you're not, we're going to go get Brady. And, hey, we're going to bring Trey in. It's going to be a circus. And then we got Darnold, and that's a circus. And, you know, you're coming off of this. Like, it could have got weird is all I'm saying. And to his point, it never did. He never had. There's not one soundbite from Purdy that even comes remotely controversial. I'm with BPA on this.
I mean, we're
go ahead, BPA, finish. Go ahead.
Yeah, we're fortunate to have him, right? He's an elite NFL quarterback, top five in the league. I mean, compared to Dak, is a joke. Dak is a losing quarterback in the NFL. Pump your stats up when the game doesn't matter against inferior opponents, but when he plays against good teams, he don't show ever. So I think, you know, we're lucky to have him. We're lucky to have Shanahan, and it's unfortunate we haven't won a Super Bowl, but I'd rather be contending for a title every year than have an organization make excuses for an utterly failed president of baseball operations like Farhan Zaidi every year because they don't want to take the PR hit. And everyone knows this guy's dead man walking, but like, yeah, I'd rather have an organization that was honest. Steve Wilks was a bad hire. You can blame Kyle for hiring him, but look, let's stop the revisionist history on Steve Wilks. You know, he wasn't a very good defensive coordinator.
He was the best coach in the Super Bowl, wasn't he?
Yeah, that was one game.
He was the best coach in the Super Bowl.
And he wasn't even game planning that game.
Oh, okay? God, stop. Okay. You know what? Clock time was right. Eric Crockett was right, though. You know, we always got a flush BPA. He asked for it.
I thought it was a good call.
It was
all right. End was a little crash and burn.
Shout out to our friends at Floyd Water Plumbing and Drain. If you're going to call it to the roast, you better bring it, because if you don't, you'll be flushed. Brought to you by Floyd Water Plumbing and Drain.
He wasn't game planning the biggest game of the year.
What kind of take is that?
It's hard to hit three DCs in a row.
No, but you know what? Eric Crockett did say it. Shanahan's really the defensive coordinator of the 49ers.
Yeah, he's probably
right. You know what? That's why I'm blaming Shanahan even more about the Super Bowl. Because he is the defensive coordinator. It's his scheme.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again?
With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or track pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.